Today, we're going to explore gifts in action. We talked last week about love gives gifts. And it's pretty fascinating and amazing to see what God has given us, what he's given us access to. And my hope and prayer for each of you is this, that the love of Jesus transforms you, transforms your way of thinking about yourself. And the reason, the way you look at yourself, the reason you are here on this earth. We have learned that the very essence and DNA of God is love through this journey. God is love. This same love is poured into our hearts by the pouring out and pouring into by the Holy Spirit, where we are filled by the Holy Spirit, and that love of God shines from us, that love of fire, that love of God becomes a fire that burns brighter in this world of darkness. God is love, and whoever abides in him, he too abides in you. These gifts that are given to you by the Holy Spirit through God, the love, these gifts are free. No repayment is required. You don't have to work to attain them or earn them even. Access is through faith and is simply accessed by asking or knocking, and you shall receive and it will be opened unto you. He is the giver of good gifts. He's not going to give you a scorpion when you ask for a gift. He's not going to give you a rotten egg. He gives you good gifts, as we learned last week in the book of Luke, the writings of Luke. Acts 2, we explored shares about this free gift, the Holy Spirit, or as some of us old-timers would use, Holy Ghost in the King Jamesian version. And it is given to us for free. Has been poured out, is poured out, was poured out, still being poured out, still actively moving in the earth today. It wasn't just for the apostles. It wasn't just for the first century Christians. It is for them, for us, and for them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for everybody, every tongue, every nation, every demographic, every socioeconomic status. Doesn't matter where you are in life and where you are in this world, the Holy Spirit still being poured out and is for you and is free. We also learn that God will not repent of giving his gifts. He's not regretting it. It's the whole intention from the very beginning of time was to dwell in you, to be in that intimate relationship with you. Yeah. By becoming one in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are made alive in Christ. We are made one, and we are made new, and we are made alive. Available to everyone for all time. So this repentance of gifts, not going to happen. We learned in Romans chapter 11. You can read it again. Hey, and if you want to catch up on some of the series, we have it on our podcast on the web. Jump on the web and go through it if you're interested in learning more about love. This is our sixth or seventh week into it now. We also learned that love trumps all. All the gifts without love are like sounding a cymbal. Love is the basis of it. Love is the essence and DNA of God. Without it, you're not of God. So love is of God. And when we're in God, love is in us. God is in us. And love flows out of us. Not our hypersexualized love version from the world that we live in, or our selfish, ambitious love, where we love so much that all we do is for ourselves, everything we do is about ourselves, or for our gratification immediately, on and on and on. But it's a different kind of love. Love that transforms your way of thinking. Love that transforms your actions and who you are in God. It doesn't change your personality so much, but it changes your character. It changes your attitude. Amen. You're still that fun-loving person you were 25 years ago inside, but often our attitudes and our characters become something different than what God designed us to be. So with the Holy Spirit in us, it transforms our way of being, transforms our way of thinking. Our actions are therefore transformed as well. 1 Corinthians 13, I'll give you a scripture for half my rambling so far. If I speak, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 3, I think I have it on the app. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to even remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love. Without love, it's for naught. It's the love of God that transforms the world. Not even the gifting that's in you. It's through the gifting that's empowered by the love of Jesus in you that transforms the world around you. Otherwise, you're transforming yourself. But God's love does that perfect work within us. His grace, unmerited favor in your life by his love poured into your heart. Then we talk about the diversity of gifts. Having been given according to the grace given to each of us, Romans 12 and 6, we learned. In this, let each of us learn what we can do best and devote our attention and our best to it. To give or to rule is equally as important as the gift to teach. Everyone has been given gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, you have been given a gift. And it might be plural, probably, actually. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us so. To everyone, gifts are allotted according to the grace of God measured out. The same Spirit gives and gives sovereignly as he wills. Lastly, from our catch-up here we're doing, we are many but have one purpose. So see, we're a diverse group of people, not just in looks and in shapes and in talents and skills, but in giftings and callings. We are many but one purpose. For the fulfillment of God's perfect will. What's his perfect will? That all should come to repentance and have everlasting life found in Christ Jesus. Hey, we're on a mission together. And God equips you. God gives you everything you need. He does give you for free. Ah, an amazing giver of good gifts. And we have one purpose. 1 Corinthians 12 continues, it's not on the app, but we are one body with many members, and Christ is the head, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So because we're made alive in Christ, we're baptized into the body of Christ through his Holy Spirit, we become one. But we're not all identical twins. Some of you might say, thank goodness it's not that case. But we're baptized into one body, but the body has a purpose. And each one member within that body is interdependent upon the rest of the body, but the whole body still has a purpose. Even within that purpose is the purpose that God has in you to work through you as well, to minister to one another, to minister to God, and to reach out to those who are far from him. No one gift, nor person, nor member is of any more importance than the other. And that's something we believe wholeheartedly here, that even it doesn't matter what circumstance, what position in life, what role in life, what job, what socioeconomic status, what color, what demographic, what language you speak, it doesn't matter. You are equally important in the eyes of God. And in this family, you have a place to belong, a place to be loved by God and be loved by one another. Why? Because there's love that's gushing and overflowing from everything inside of us, out of us, into the streets, into our relationships, into our workplaces. God's love is transforming and overflowing from us, being a blessing to one another. Division. There's no place for division in the body. But all members may have the same care for one another. An interdependent body. There's no way that you can, as a hand, walk by yourself. You need the rest of the body, whether it's here or in any other organization of the body itself. I'm not talking about church organization or company organizations, or that is important and it has its place, but as the ecclesia, the entire body as a whole. But this body right here gathered together in this small little room, we have one purpose, we have one body, and we are members that care for one another and interdependent upon each other. We are stronger together. Where one of you, or one of myself even, where I am deficient, I derive help and encouragement and strength from the gifting and callings and the skill sets that God has given you as well. So we help one another. We build up one another. We encourage one another. It's a body ministry. Each and every one of us activated in their gifts and callings and skill sets, ministering to one another. What a healthy body where the life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit is flowing through us as one big operative body on mission with Jesus Christ. No deficiency as a body. We derive help from one another. An organism, think of this, made up of microorganisms. When you look at an organism, I remember looking through the microscope and twisting the knob just a tad bit more, and you're like, whoa, this thing's got legs. It's actually moving. Isn't this just a penny? No, it's organisms made up of microorganisms. Maybe not a penny, but anyways, a microcosm making up a larger macrocosm. Hey, God's got big plans here. We're not alone in this. This gathering here together, we're not the only ones in this city. You already know that, I know. But just in case you did, hey, there's a lot more bodies in this city as well that are part of the big purpose of God, reaching the city of Nanaimo, reaching the province of British Columbia, the Vancouver Island as a whole. Together, we are one in Christ. And today, we want to look at love in action. These gifts given to us, gifts in action, and see where we go with it. 1 Corinthians 12, again, I've just got a few reminders. Deferring gifts in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The list in 1 Corinthians, I'll let you read it on your own, you can go through it if you want now, seems to be mostly associated to the Christian gathering. The ecclesia gathering, the body context. The key word in Greek for this manifestation as phanerosis. There we go. I'm not Greek, sorry. Phanerosis equals manifestation. The implications for manifestations are situational. 1 Corinthians, situational giftings. Romans 12, the praxis, the action, seems to be more concerned with practical activities done by members of the community. The implications are practical application. Ephesians 4, which we haven't explored yet, seems to be more decisive than the implications as situational or practical, but they seem to be more, the kalesis or the kalesis, calling or vocation is actually what it comes from in the Greek, calling, is kalesis, would seem to be more vocational calling, walking worthy of the calling, the kalesis, my apologies, I hate butchering words, to which you were called. So we're going to explore this. But first we're going to start with Ephesians 3, and we do have this scripture. We want to start with the Pauline prayer. Paul, an apostle, in the letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. Excuse my drink. Verse 14, for this reason, Paul's writing, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Man, we've been blowing our minds in this love journey. Maybe not yours, but mine has been blown a few times. This love that is beyond my comprehension in some ways. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, verse 20, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Yes, verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a prayer to kick off the letters to the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians. But what you'll note is a lot of the letters in Ephesians is not specifically to Ephesians. It's actually in context to the church as a whole and is asked to read these to the church. A lot of the other letters in Corinthians and Philippians, they're actually specifically addressing problems within that current context. But here we are learning that Ephesians is writing to us just as well 55,000 years later. Not quite. Note that Paul reminds us that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit through faith results with us being rooted and grounded in love, strengthened and filled with the fullness of God. Through this, we begin to understand his love. And when we begin to understand his love, I've been watching in this in the last little while. We've been going through Alpha classes and seeing people start to understand how powerful and how transforming this love of Jesus is. But then not only are we starting to understand it, but as we're understanding it, we begin to experience his love. It becomes a tangible experience. Your transformation doesn't come without some kind of effect in your life. And through that experience, we too become love. We start being what Christ's DNA within us becomes. Started as we're dwelling in the vine, that fruit of the vine that comes out from us is a full product of that intimate relationship with Jesus. You bear the fruit of that union in Christ. We've talked about that as well. We become love to one another and to the world abroad. It's through us becoming love that the world knows that there is even a hope in the resurrection of Christ. Amen. Without seeing love, there is no resurrection of Christ, because resurrection of Christ was for the power of the Holy Spirit birthed in you with love to transform your world around you. It's only love that begins to transform you through the power of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul moves on from, so we just talked about theology, talked about the basics of faith if you read in that prayer. And he moves on to praxis, practical application, which means to do. Praxis is an established custom and practice. Chapter 4 is the pivotal section where he appeals to the Ephesians and beyond, to every Christian, everywhere, to live consistently with who God is and what he has done in Jesus. So we're going to look at it. Gifts given, ministry, calling, vocation, a Christological source and basis for the constitutional ministry within the church. That's a big long, I know. Just drop that. It's okay. Ephesians chapter 4. I have a sense of humor, but it's usually just, I laugh at myself. I don't know. That's what I told my kids when I laugh at my own stupid jokes, and they're like, that's not even funny. That doesn't matter. I laugh. That's all that matters. Ephesians 4. Here we go. Big words up there. Awesome. Ephesians 4, verse 1. And we're going to break it down into three sections, and I'll show you why. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, Paul's talking here out of prison, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, the kalesis, to which you have been called. Verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I can't get past this love. It's everywhere. 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wow. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. So verses 1 to 6, and Paul's call in this text was to call the body back to the unity and the one God. And the theological axioms are related to God, faith, and church. It's the beginnings and the basics of our theology, grounding within the framework of orthodoxy. Moving on, Ephesians 4. We got that already. We're good. Verse 7 through 11 is our next one. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? Verse 10, he who descended and the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. The fulfillment of the prophetic of the entire Torah and scripture and prophetic that was given in the Old Testament. Verse 11, these gifts that we're talking about, he said he gave gifts to men. Here we go. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. I'm going to stop right there. Paul, having laid out the ecclesial unity, he proceeds to affirm the God-given and Christ-apportioned nature of the ministry of the ecclesia or the ecclesia. The ministry of Christ, of expressing itself through the body of Christ. Absolutely. You getting it still? We're okay? I know it's a little bit teachy this morning, but I think it's important because if this framework is not understood in the Christian church, then we're operating without outside of our design. And when we operate outside of our design, we cannot fulfill the great commission that God has designed us to fulfill. Do you see the importance of it? Because each and every one of you are equipped and sent ones, fishermen. Amen. Right? Yeah. If one teacher shepherd is all that does all the ministry in the body context, it becomes a dysfunctional body context. But when the fivefold ministry is operating in the body like it's supposed to be, and let's just release to be and empowered to be, what a powerful apostolic movement that we're designed to be can be released in us. Yeah. I know you're not as excited as me, but we'll get there. Ephesians 4, verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. This body's not headless. And I'm not the head. Christ is the head of the church. Amen. The head of the body. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Can you see a bit of the... I know now you can look back in your rearview mirror and you can see where we've been the last 6 weeks. Building ourselves, the body grows, the body builds itself up in love. So, verses 12 through 16, Paul, he's giving us insights into why the fivefold was given in the first place. These gifts, or charisms, are given so that the body may grow and mature. Living out the unity described in verses 1 through 6, not given to theological illusions, and finding our wholeness in Christ and in each other. The capacity to be all who Jesus intended us to be. Paul uses nouns to present the fivefold instead of listing activities that exist separate and apart from you as an individual. He connects the being with the doing. The task and the person are the same. If each believer is given a specific fivefold gift and calling, then this means we fulfill the calling by living in it, by walking worthy of our calling. Come, and I will make you fishers of men. Make disciples. Go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. Multiply. Bear fruit, an exponential growth from the love of Christ working through you as an apostolic movement. Guess what? It's unstoppable. When we align ourselves with the perfect will of God, this body and the greater body context becomes unstoppable. Amen. When you're working in your gifting, when you're working in your calling, when you're able to walk it out, it's powerful. Amen. It's powerful. to successfully function, it requires drawing from the other various gifts given by God to carry out the work that he assigns to each of us to do. In other words, Ephesians 4 and 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, is the organizing principle around which the other gifts listed in Scripture are organized. Consider this illustration to help us put a picture to it. I don't have a picture. Well, I do have a picture at the end. We'll get there. The vocation is, let's say, a carpenter. And to accomplish the goal of building a house or framing a house, you also need a tool belt. You're not going to go there with bare hands and monkey hand that house together. You need a tool belt, a belt of tools. You might need a hammer. You might need an air thingamajiggy. What do they call them? Air gun? Yeah, sure. Pliers, maybe? I don't, probably not. A drill? Yeah, probably. A level, some saws. That's the tool belt that of a carpenter. And you will need all of these tools to accomplish the task of building that house, of framing that house. But you don't use the saw for banging nails. You use the tools as appropriate to help you get the task done. You use the tools that specifically are needed. The gifts in Romans and in 1 Corinthians similarly can be viewed as your tool belt. I am an apostle. Maybe not, but if I'm an apostle or an evangelist or whatever I am, I will always be an apostle. But in context, I will use tools from the tool belt in order to function as an apostle or an evangelist or a teacher. There are times that an apostle will need gifts of healing or encouragement to accomplish the task that is at hand. An evangelist can draw from the gift of encouragement, of faith, of miracles, and so on and on. Paul seems to be saying that each of us has a calling, or even a fixed vocational calling. To live out this calling, we need different tools in different situations. The Spirit supplies the tools to help us get the job done. You don't have to go looking for the tools. The Spirit will give you the tools that are needed in order to accomplish the task that God has given you. To get the job done, the charismatic giftings. These gifts are given to unify, to minister, and to mature. Let's put up that let's go fishing picture. Do you still have that on there? An illustration. I'm going to be in somebody's way probably, so let's go fishing. As a fivefold ministry, here's a couple thoughts to put to a picture for you. Apostolic builds the boat, the net, and the team. The prophet, the spotter, and the crow's nest. The prophet is the one that stands in the gap between where we are and where we're going and says, hey, you're not on track. Land ho, you're going to hit that thing. Stop it. Turn left. The evangelist baits, if you want to use that word, I'm not sure, but and hooks the fish. Right? Baits and hooks the fish. Using the wrong hook sometimes doesn't always work. So you build a fishing pond, you know your fish, and you use the proper fishing tackle to bait the fish. Shepherd cleans and cares for the fish. Hey, we're on task fishing for men, right? And women too, of course. The teacher feeds the fish. Do you see how this works? Yes, there's portions of the fivefold ministry in all of us, right? There's gifts and call, but there's also calling, a vocational calling that he gives as a gift that becomes your vocation in the kingdom of heaven, where you engage, whether it be an apostolic prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. Some of you might already know where I kind of, where not me, but yourself, where you might set in here. What's the point of the game? What's the object of what we're doing? Fishing. Fishing for those that are far from God, that need to be restored to God and have a relationship with Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit and made new, and on and on. We are not sports fishermen engaged in the catch and release of fish. We're intentional. Guess what? The mission's at risk here. Those that are far from God, if I don't get to work and do what God has called me to do, guess what? That opportunity for them, that person to hear God may not happen. I know God's more sovereign than that, but the thing is, I've called to a task, I'm going to do that task, and I'm going to use the right tools to accomplish that task. By the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, by the calling that is on each and every one of our lives. Where are we at for time? Oh, we're almost there. My goodness, we better hurry up. So, the fivefold ministry, apostolic, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. Five gifts in functionality are already sitting in this room. When awakened to that gifting and calling, arise to the occasion, pick up your tool belt, strap it on, becomes an apostolic movement that is catalytic to our city. Because we're operating in the design that God has given us. A major and fundamental part of our ecclesiology right here at Beloved City Church. It's not the golden plates of Joseph Smith. I apologize if you like golden plates. But I do believe appreciation and application of the Ephesians 4 typology is the beginning of an energetic releasing, an awakening of the dormant potential in the body of Christ. You want to impact our world? Jesus, help us understand what you've called us to do and the giftings that you've given us vocationally, where we can respond and rise up using the appropriate tools to handle the task at hand. In the church that Jesus already built. The apostle, I know I'm stepping on some theological toes, it's okay, we can talk about it later. But the apostle, missional impact, that's what they engage in. Missional impact, it's about impacting our world, connected to the very mission of God. The prophet, covenantal faithfulness. They're about restoring man and women to the covenant between God and being faithful to that covenant with God, connected to the very heart of God. The evangelist, well, doesn't have to be a soapboxer, right? There's multiple different types and varying types. When you study the evangelist, it's an amazing journey to go on. But they're often engaged in gospel proclamation. What is the gospel? Gospel is simply good news of Jesus. It's not Beloved City Church's gospel. It's not whoever's gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. It's Christological. It's Christocentric. It's all about Jesus. Connected to the message of God. That's what evangelists do. They connect others with the message of Jesus. The shepherd is all about reconciling community. Connecting to the people of God. And taking care of them and bandaging them and feeding them soup, whatever that looks like. Connected to the people of God. The teacher is deep in wisdom, connecting people to the truth of God. Wow, do you see where this becomes? I do believe that the reason why our churches, our ecclesia in North America is dormant and our potential is I'm not sure what words I want to use because I might use capped, maybe, yeah. Not as impacting is that we often have shepherd teachers leading churches. Great, that's okay. I believe that there's a gifting of leadership that works within the gifting. So gifting within a gifting. Not everybody works in their vocational calling at leadership potential. They have the ability to lead, but it's a calling within the calling. It's a gifting within. But when the fivefold operates at its fullest potential, it impacts our world, astronomically impacts our world. The fivefold never was intended, still not intended, to be an individual and personal calling, but also as functions of the church. We're meant to work together. The body gathered, wired in a way to understand the calling, is wired vocationally as you work in the kingdom of heaven as a laborer engaged in commission with Jesus. Joint commission with Jesus. You have a vocation. God gave it to you. He wired you for it. No matter what stage you are in your journey, you have been given gifts. These gifts are for kingdom advancement. And he equips you with a tool belt to accomplish that task that's set before you and us. We intentionally work through. Our dream is to continually be intentional in working with people, walking alongside people in developing that gifting, developing that calling, walking in that gifting and calling, making room so people can walk in that gifting and calling. So we use the grow steps, which we've already talked about, and I'm not going to continue lobbying you on it. I invite you along with that journey. I don't want to push, pull, or plead you. It's about come as I follow Jesus, come follow him with me. It's not following me. It's following Jesus together. But he's given us gifts and callings and skill sets and the Holy Spirit to fulfill his mandate. Some look at Ephesians 4, and myself included, have looked at Ephesians 4 in the past as primarily a leadership text. But it doesn't say a leadership text. It's not contextual. It's a ministry text. And the ministry is done by the body, by the saints. We're all saints in Christ, including me. Ooh, I just let myself off the hook. That's awesome. Oh, note to self. Gifting does not make a ministry, and ministry does not make a leader. Okay, we're moving on to leadership. Leadership is a calling within a calling. So you can let yourself off the hook now. Just because you are an evangelist doesn't mean you have to be ordained as a pastor and lead a church or lead an organization. You are leaders in the way that God wires you to lead, and leadership is strictly influence, simply influence. But sometimes God picks you up out of your situation in life, gives you a calling, empowers you, and equips you to lead in a different capacity. And that's okay. It doesn't mean you ever have to or ever will see that capacity of leadership in life, but you're leading somebody. So use those giftings and callings and tool belts to lead as best as you possibly understand. Leadership is a calling within a calling. Calling, gifting, and ministry is only differentiated by a matter of degree and capacity. Everyone has a gifting. Not everyone has to or will function as a leader, depending on capacity. Ephesians 4 and the fivefold ministry in healthy action is deeply radical, living text that has huge ramifications for how we both recognize and unleash the ministry of every believer, the priesthood of every believer. It brings a massive paradigm shift that in itself will take us to the core of what it means to be an apostolic movement. A radically engaged movement of the priesthood of all believers, each operating in their gifting, calling, and skills. A movement that our city desperately needs. A movement that our province and our country desperately needs. Our world desperately needs. The awakening of the fivefold ministry.